Good morning. My name is Alicia, and I am an alcoholic and a member of AA. With me today is Will, who is also a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is People Helping People. I'd like to thank WHLL 1450 AM for allowing us the opportunity to share something about our alcoholism and the solution we have found in AA. The opinions expressed here this morning are solely those of the individuals who expressed them and not those of WHLL 1450 AM or of AA as a whole. People Helping People is focused on how AA can provide help to people who have a problem with drinking. Alcoholics can be helped to stop drinking with the support of other alcoholics who have achieved sobriety and who gladly share how they did it. Like the people here today, one alcoholic helping another is the basic premise of the Fellowship of AA. Well, over 2.9 million people in over 150 countries follow the AA recovery program. Here in Western Mass, we have over 400 AA meetings a week, with approximately 6,000 members staying away from a drink one day at a time. The American Medical Association and the American Psychiatric Association recognize alcoholism as a disease. It is a progressive illness that can never be cured, but like some diseases, can be arrested. We feel that this disease is a combination of a physical sensitivity to alcohol coupled with a mental obsession. The best short description of what AA is and how it works that I know of is what we call the preamble. I'll read it to you now. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Now, I'd like to introduce my guest, Will, who will briefly tell us what it was like, what happened, and what it is like now. After that, I'll provide some information about how and where to get help. So, Will, thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
Take it away.
Take it away, bro.
So my voice is being heard right now. That's crazy. All right, I'm Will O. I'm an alcoholic. It's really interesting to speak into this microphone and not know who I'm speaking to.
The world.
Yeah, like the world. But you know how it's different when you can see the faces of the people you're interacting with? Like, this is totally blind. It's terrifying. So I say that I am an alcoholic. When I was young, the idea of being an alcoholic meant like a person who has like a trench coat and drinks like a bottle of brandy, like in the gutter, and is homeless and isn't doing well and isn't looking good. Like, that's kind of like the vision I get in my head. And when I came around almost 10 years ago now, I didn't know what an alcoholic was. I didn't know what an addict was. I didn't know what I was. And like, what I've learned, is that my problem isn't alcohol, you know? Because the thing is, so if alcohol was my problem, when I stopped drinking, my life would have immediately gotten better. The problem is that, really, my problem is sobriety. My problem is, like, waking up and being me. My problem is like, breathing, you know? Like, I wake up in the morning and I feel restless, irritable, and discontent all the time. And I was like that as a kid, and I was like that as an adult. And then I found alcohol, as well as other substances. Am I allowed to say that? Like, I love drugs. Drugs are cool, too.
Yep.
I don't discriminate. Like, if there's drugs, alcohol, whatever, it's all the same to me. But, so when I say I'm Will and I'm an alcoholic, like, I'm talking more about alcoholism as a spiritual condition. People call it, like, the hole in the soul, the void, the spiritual malady. And that's the one I like the best. Like, for me, like, I have kind of a sickness, and I don't like the disease concept. I don't like that whole thing because it's, like, for me, like, this need to drink or to feel loved or to feel good is so strong. It's like the need to breathe air. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know you have a strong desire to breathe air. But if somebody put a bag over your head, you would know very, very quickly you would have a very strong desire to breathe air. And, like, my soul has always had that desire, that yearning. You know, and, like, as a kid, it was snacks and junk food. Like, I picked my friends based on what kind of food they had in their fridge. You know what I mean? And when I discovered alcohol, it that restless, irritable, and discontent, like the way that I felt inside that I didn't like, that I should have been upstairs when I was downstairs. I should have been outside when I was inside. I should have been, you know, wearing different clothes or different shoes or, you know, in a different neighborhood or in a different town. Like wherever I was, I didn't feel right. And when I discovered alcohol, and another big one was other people. I had that too. Like what other people thought. Like would they like me? Would they think I'm funny? Would they think I look right? Would they think I'm tall? Would they think, you know, and I'm constantly obsessing about that stuff. You know, and when I took that drink, that went away. So alcohol is not my problem. It's the solution to my problem. You know what I mean? And the reason I know this is because the first, like, year that I was sober, I had a little bit of help from the state of Massachusetts. Can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I had like, my freedom was at stake, so I had a good reason to stay sober. You know, and the sobriety part wasn't extremely difficult. Like, I believe if you get that... If you've really been out there a long time and you're in rough shape and you really want something new and you're kind of like I had kind of a spiritual experience, and the sobriety part wasn't that bad. But the sobriety part was really bad in my head. You know, there was like a lot going on between my ears. Things, you know, it's like no matter what I did, the world just didn't seem to like do what I wanted it to do. And even when it did what I wanted it to do, I wasn't happy with that either. And so that's like what I'm talking about with alcoholism, like that spiritual malady. That's what I'm suffering from. That's what I'm looking to treat. And, I mean, and alcohol and drugs are a fantastic way to treat that, but I reached a point when I was, like, 24 years old. I mean, of course, sorry, I talk so fast and I jump around so much,
You're
but,
good.
Like, drinking started as this amazing escape. It got me in trouble really quickly because I like to drink, and when I start drinking, like, I don't seem to have a lot of control over how much I drink.
Mm.
And I grew up, I was starting to drink in, like, the late 99s and the early 2000s. So where I'm from at that time... Like, if you got caught with 17 with a wine cooler, they sent, like, four squad cars. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... like, when my dad was a kid, like, you know, in the 60s, like, he'd crash his car and the cops would help him get home. That was not my experience. I was quick to get involved with legal issues and family issues and school issues. But alcohol had such a profound effect on me that I was kind of willing to do whatever I had to do to get it. And... that continued, you know, but by the time I was like 24, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to a show about people who drink too much, you probably know what that looks like. It looked in the beginning like it was like this thing that just solved my problems. Like I would be walking to the party and I'd have a girl with me and like my little sister would be tagging along behind us. And it's like the grass was too wet and my shoes were too tight and my socks were starting to get wet. And, you know, like the girl was annoying and I just couldn't handle any more of it. And my sister's taking too long. She's too far back. And my clothes didn't seem right. And I wondered if the people at the party really wanted me to come to the party. And it's just like, you know, my head was just this mess of negativity. And then I'd get to the party and I'd have that Keystone Light. And like the next thing you know, I'm dancing on the table. I'm singing songs. Like I'm partying. I'm the life of the party. I'm having a blast. And like, and that like little vision in my mind was like what I looked at alcohol as. Like, that's what could bring me to the party. Like, I come out and play now, you know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, like, the reality is, like, because that's one thing alcoholism seems to do is it makes it so that I can't differentiate the truth from the false. So when I'm, like, 23 and I've been kicked out of college and I lost my car and I have no job and I'm so poor and pathetic and I don't even have a cell phone, you know what I mean? I'm couch surfing and living under bridges, and when I'm, like, a total mess... I have that same vision. Like, I think I'm just going to scrounge up enough money to get a bottle, and it's going to be that same party. Like, I'm going to show it. You know what I mean? And what happened is by 24, alcohol stopped having that effect. It's like I couldn't drink enough to, like, feel the way I wanted to feel, so I was restless and irritable and discontent before drinking and restless, irritable, and discontent after drinking. And I'll tell you, the best time was, like, on the way to the package store, because that's where in my mind I'm like, I'm going to get this relief. And I stopped getting it. You know, it just stopped doing what I wanted it to do. And like, another thing is when you're an alcoholic like me, like your problems pile up. And like I've been having problems with my drinking since the beginning. I'm not one of these guys who like managed for 10 years. You know, like I think I started drinking when I was 14, and like I'd been to rehab. Like I kicked out of 5 high schools. I'd had legal troubles right off the rip. My parents didn't like the way I drank. I mean, there was issues. But now, you know, as like an adult at 24 years old, you know, the time that I kind of was welcomed to this fellowship, I mean, I really, like, my life wasn't going good. I was seeing the people on Facebook that I graduated high school with, you know, like getting jobs, getting houses, getting married. And like, not only that, they looked happy, like they looked like their life had meaning and purpose. And, And my purpose for the day was to drink and to get high. And, when I started to have this experience where it's like I didn't want to be alive, but, I wasn't going to, like, commit suicide. I was afraid to take my life, but I felt like I had no reason to be alive. There just wasn't a purpose to my life. Like, there was no method to the madness. I was just a zombie. And, when I knew deep down that, like, that there had to have been a greater reason for living other than to just mm-hmm. drink. And, I guess you could say, how are we doing on time? Have I been talking for a long time?
You're doing great. You got like 5 more.
Perfect.
Minutes, yeah.
All right, I'll get sober. So I want to talk about getting sober. Because the thing is, so for me, I never thought there was hope. Like I thought at 24 years old, I thought that I was at the end of the road. I didn't really think that there was an answer. I thought that I was kind of just going to go through life like this. The thing was, I couldn't imagine being away from alcohol. And I couldn't imagine to keep drinking. So I was like, you know what I mean? I didn't know what I was going to do. And one of the things, like if you've been to an AA meeting or if you've looked into this recovery stuff at all, like for me personally, one thing I know is that I don't seem to possess the power to stop me from drinking on my own. Like I just don't seem to have it. And like I can go to rehab, if someone else manages my life, like I might not drink in there. I could go to jail. I could, there's things that could happen that could stop me from drinking. And there was even a lot of times where I was able to stop for small periods on my own. But like that little voice in my head would always be there. And, so when they talk about all this spirituality nonsense in AA, I wasn't a big fan of that. I wasn't a God guy. I thought it was just kind of corny. And I thought that it was one of those things when I heard someone say that, like I thought that they were weak. I was like, I can solve my problems myself. My parents are scientists. Like, they figure stuff out, and I'm going to figure this stuff out, too. But, like, the lie that I'm telling myself that I'm going to figure it out is becoming more and more clear because I'm 24 years old. I don't have a mailing address. You know what I mean? How many people who are 24 doing well that don't have a mailing address? It's a pretty human basic need, You can't even get a letter in the mail. Like, how good is your life, But I'm not doing good. And it's just starting to, become more and more clear. And, the state of Mass helped me out getting sober. They blessed me. I got in a little trouble. But when I got in trouble, it really was like, I think, the first time that I was aware of God intervening in my life. Because, I woke up in jail. I was incarcerated. And, I felt free. Which is a crazy, crazy thing. Because, everybody else in jail is dying to get out. I was just grateful to have somewhere to sleep and have some meals and I figured maybe I'd change my life. And that kind of gets back to what I was saying in the beginning, like where I thought if the alcohol was gone and the drugs were gone, I thought that my life would just naturally get better. I thought I would sprout wings and go to college and get a degree and figure all this stuff out. And the problem is a year after that, I wasn't in really much better shape. I got, I was in like a halfway house. I was doing all that stuff. And like I got kicked out of one halfway house. I'd gone to another. I was arguing with everybody. I was restless, irritable, discontent. I was like that obsession, that like alcoholism, like the way like a person seeks alcohol. Like I was just doing it with other stuff. Like I just was switching, switching addictions. I was addicted to the gym. I had that, I had that alcoholic fear my whole life. Like I was afraid of what people thought. I was afraid of not fitting in. I was afraid of not being tough enough. And like I got this idea in my head that if I worked out and got like super strong, that I wouldn't be afraid anymore. You know what I mean? So I spent like 6 hours a day working out. I was obsessed with girls. I was just acting totally crazy. And like the funny thing is it didn't have much positive effect. Like when I was done working out, I was still crazy. And, and at that point, like we're getting kind of to an ending putt spot here, but like I met a guy who had been through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and what he'd had was a spiritual experience based on the 12 steps. Based on good sponsorship. And now I've been to these AA meetings. I was, the coffee was decent. The girls weren't that cute. And it wasn't that fun. I was kind of not seeing the point. And like most of all, I wanted to act like I was the coolest guy in that room. But like the truth is I was terrified. I was uncomfortable. Like I knew how to be buddies with my little halfway house friends, but I didn't know how to interact with normal people. I didn't know how to be an adult. I didn't know how to be a human. And I was scared. And instead of telling anybody I was scared, like I mean mugged and sat there, I'm so cool, I've been in jail. And, but, like, I was terrified. I didn't know how to do it. And, like, this guy took his time, And he took me under his wing, and he took me through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's like a whole other conversation. I won't get too deep into it, but the idea is they've kind of, like these guys, Bill and Bob, back in the day, formulated like a method of like not only getting over the actual drinking and the alcohol part, but like over the spiritual malady into like a point where they could be reunited with the world and serve a greater purpose and like show up for their families and be decent dudes, you know? And, like I did those 12 steps and like the results were dramatic, you know, like a guy who thought he could never get sober, a guy who got sober and thought he could never be happy sober went to being a guy who was like helping other guys in Alcoholics Anonymous, feeling at home in Alcoholics Anonymous and like serving a decent purpose and living a decent life. You know, and today, like it's been like a lot of ups and downs and it's been a really crazy ride. But I love AA. I'm still involved with AA. I have a cool life. I don't have a bad life, you know? I have a dog. I have a six-year-old. I drove my own vehicle down here. I mean, I didn't have a driver's license from DUI. I got a DUI on my 21st birthday. I didn't get a driver's license back until I was, like, 28, you know? I drove my own damn vehicle here. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I have a cool life, and it's in, like, really, like, the what did it for me was to, like, stop controlling everything and to just kind of give in and let somebody who'd had the experience take me through too. And if anybody's listening who's interested or who has a family member who needs help, like just have an open mind. I mean, I'm a guy who there was no hope for, you know, parents had written me off. Siblings thought I was done. I mean, it's like, I shouldn't be alive, but there absolutely is the possibility of recovery for anybody. And I'm real stupid. And I'm just not somebody who like takes well to doing new things and trying new things. And, you know, and like when my mother first saw me getting well, she was like, why are you driving to New Jersey? Why are you doing all this stuff with AA? Like, why don't you just hang out at home? You know, and after she saw me do it for a couple of years, she's like, I don't know what you're doing in there. I don't get it, but like, keep doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just glad to have my kid. And, you know, I just want anyone to know listening that anybody can have this. It's not difficult. It's just a process, and it's uncomfortable because you don't know.
Yeah.
But that's all I got.
That was wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Seriously, I have not heard your story yet, and that was good. Powerful stuff. What I got from your story is, like, seriously, like, I try to give the same message when I speak is, like, hope.
Yeah.
And, like, getting uncomfortable, that's exactly what I had to do as well, is I had to change everything about myself because what I was doing wasn't working. So I was willing to face that fear head on. Give myself over to a higher power, whatever, some source, because I wasn't working. It wasn't what I was doing wasn't working, and you literally nailed it. That was great.
Aww, thank you.
Killed it. All right, so I would like to thank WHLL 1450 AM again, and Will for being here. Before we go, I would like to make the audience aware of two AA committees, and that are available to the general public and to the professional community. They are the Public Information Committee and the Cooperation with the Professional Community Committee. For more information, please call our Western Mass Intergroup at 413-532-2111. Write them at Western Mass Intergroup, 474 Pleasant Street, Holyoke, MA, 01040. Or reach them online at westernmassaa.org. Western Mass Intergroup's number is the telephone directory and is also a 24-hour hotline number if you ever need to talk to somebody. I'll repeat that number, 413-532-2111. If you or somebody you know is experiencing difficulty accessing an AA meeting, please contact our Accessibility Committee at 413-532-3752. For more information regarding Al-Anon or Alanteen, please call 413-782-3406. Both of these lines are open 24 hours. Thank you for listening, and please remember, you don't have to stop drinking alone. Ready? You don't have to stop drinking alone. One more time.
You don't have to stop drinking alone.